messenger for the second address of the evening is our friend and brother, Dr. Ellie Maxwell, principal of the Prairie Bible Institute, who surely needs no word of introduction to us. We thank God for him and wait now for God's further word to our soul. Dr. Maxwell.
Chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, chapter 3 and verse 3. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Verse 6. Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The second letter of Paul to the Corinthians is the letter of ministry. In the first letter that he wrote, he takes the Corinthian believers to the brazen laver and tells them that they cannot pass that laver if they mean to serve acceptably in the house of God. And so he bids them examine themselves and cleanse themselves from all defilement. But then in the second letter, he brings them into the holy place and gives them to know that they are the servants of the living God and their service is associated with the house of God. Now, I have read some of the passages relating to the Holy Spirit of God in this wonderful epistle. And you'll notice that the first thing we read about the Spirit of God is the anointing. Now our Lord Jesus Christ has various titles. He has one name. That name is the sweetest name of all names. How sweet the name of Jesus. That name they wrote above him when hanging on the accursed tree. But there we see the reason we forevermore should love him. That name that is exalted in heaven. That name at the mention of which every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. One of the titles of our blessed Lord is Christ. And Christ means Messiah, or the Anointed One. We too are anointed ones. He has been anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, but he has fellows. And we are associated with him. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have been divinely called Christians, which means anointed one. Now we can go back to the Old Testament to get the picture for this lesson that we have in 2 Corinthians. We discover there that there were three types of persons who were anointed. You remember how they were anointed to function in the prophet's office. And then the priests before they could serve were anointed. And the kings before they were crowned were anointed. Our Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. As prophet, he had something to tell us. What was it? That God loved a homeless stranger amongst us came to this land of sin and mourning. He trod a pathway of sorrow and shame and insult and hate and scorning. A man of sorrows, of toils, of tears. An outcast man and a lonely. But he had a story to tell. He looked at us in infinite love. He told out the heart of God, and it has found a response in our hearts, and him we love, him only. But he's gone back to heaven, and there in the glory, he speaks. He mentions our names constantly. He's our intercessor in the sanctuary before God. He's the anointed priest on the throne. But he has the holy oil. And one day, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journey run. The crowning day is coming by and by. But you are a prophet. You are a priest. You are a king. You have the holy oil. You have the unction from God himself. You have a story to tell. And the tongue of fire has fell upon you. And the holy oil. Are you telling the story? The world doesn't know it. You are responsible to tell what we have heard in song, that God is love. You have accessed into the holy place. And you, with him, can be an intercessor. Have you had the saints on your heart today? Have you mentioned names before the throne of God today? Have you pled with God on behalf of others today? Have you gone about gossiping of this? Have you been telling others of the faults of your fellow saints? Or have you eaten the sin offering? And have you presented them in all their beauty in Christ to God the Father? You're a priest to bring praises. You're a priest to intercede in the presence of God, and that's why you have the anointing. You're a king. Walk in the dignity of your kingship. Victory is yours in Christ. You are here for God. I was in Holland for 2 weeks in May. Juliana reigns there. When she was a little girl, she was playing with some other girls, pouting because they wanted her toys. Queen Wilhelmina came, looked at her and said, "Come here, Juliana. One day you shall sit on the throne of the Netherlands. This is no sort of conduct for you. The angels must wonder sometimes at our conduct and say they look like kings and queens, don't they? Little spoiled children. Oh, walk in the dignity that's yours and mine. As those who shall sit with Christ on the throne, as those who have a mission now." What is it? We are royal priests to come out of that sanctuary and show forth the excellencies of our blessed Lord in this world. And not only has He anointed us, He has sealed us. The Holy Spirit of God is the seal. When do you seal a thing? When you finished it. I wrote a letter last night. I got sleepy. So I went to bed. Good place to go when you're sleepy. I didn't seal that letter. I looked at it this morning and I said, well, not finished. That letter's been sealed and sent. I sealed it when it was finished. We are saved through the work of Christ on the cross. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a finished transaction. No one can add to it. No one can take away from it. Not only does the seal speak of something that is completed, finished, a transaction that has been done once for all, that seal speaks of ownership. I've been reading some books that have been really interesting to me. They belong to Stanley. He's kindly loaned them to me while I'm here to read. Books about the days in Texas, the covered wagons that came to California. Very interesting. But those cattle men left their cattle to roam on the hills and fields. How could they tell which were theirs? The brass, the seal. Here we are in this world. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And on each of His own, He puts His own peculiar mark, we say. You are a marked person. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're mine, as says the Lord Jesus Christ. What marks you as His? The seal. The seal of the Holy Spirit of God. And then it not only speaks of a finished transaction, it not only speaks of ownership, and I'm glad I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And that suggests the third thought, preservation. When you want something to be preserved, you seal it. They sealed that den in which Daniel was cast to the lion. High heaven cares nothing for earth sealed. They sealed that tomb in which they had the Lord of life and glory. Still sealed, and he's risen. You and I are sealed. And I challenge heaven, earth, and hell to break that seal. I am his and he is mine forever and forever. And then that seal speaks of identification. As a mark that has been imprinted upon us by the Holy Spirit of God is twofold. John tells us that we can distinguish the children of God from the children of the devil by two things, righteousness and love. There was one here below who walked in the unsullied light of God's presence. There was one here below who walked in matchless infinite love. And that imprint has been placed upon every child of God. Righteousness. Love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye love one another. And then that seal speaks of destination. When I was in Southampton, there were blocks and blocks and blocks where there are baggage. The names of various places on that baggage. Rotterdam, La Haye, Berlin, New York, Boston. And by the Holy Spirit of God, a city has been imprinted on you and me. It's New Jerusalem. I will write upon him the city of my God. I'm bound for that glory land. I'm not staying here. My home is far away upon a foreign strand. Thank God we're going. We're going. And it won't be a long sea voyage. A shout and we'll be with him. I'm waiting for that shout. Tomorrow is the 1st of December. To any boy, to any girl, the best month in the year is December. Why? Well, because the snow comes mountain high in Michigan. No. No. Because your hills look golden in December. Are they always that way? No, that isn't why. Why is December the best month in the year? Shall I tell you? Christmas in December. Have you ever noticed a Christmas seal with this inscription on it? Do not open until. When? Do not open until. Presentation. I was telling the folks yesterday about my girlfriend. Of course, you expect to see her in Grand Rapids. That's where she is. And I have a meeting with her every Wednesday afternoon when I'm there. And we gather the ladies of the home, and we have a lovely time singing and reading the Word of God. Some sleep throughout the affair. Some don't hear much of what I say, but anyhow, there's some appreciate it. And Miss Shambi appreciates it. Oh, she says, I'm so glad you came. Is it true now? Yes. Well, that's too bad. You'll come again, won't you? And I say, yes. She came to see one day, and I said, look, Miss Shambi, you expect to go to heaven? She said, yes. With that cane that you got in your hand there? With that dress on? And those wrinkles in your face, and you can't see very well, can you? How are you going to see to walk the golden street, girl, when you get there? She's only 96, and she looked at me and she says, you don't expect me to be there like this, do you? I said, no, I should say not. These are just the wrappings for the precious present inside that will be presented by the Holy Spirit of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, she said, that's it, I'm going to be just like him. Our Lord Jesus is going to receive us one day. Who will he receive us from? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost has secured you and me for Christ. And the wrappings aren't very nice. No. No. White hair. Got to use these old things. And so on and so forth. And it'll get worse. But this is just the wrappings. I've got a seal here. And what is it? Don't open until rapture. And then the Spirit of God is going to present me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be just like him. Won't it be wonderful to see one another then? It will be worth looking at. We'll radiate his glory. But there's another thought. He has sealed us. He has anointed us. He has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know what that means? You've heard of earnest money, haven't you? Well, they tell me that in the days when the Bible was written, what they did was this. You bought a bit of land, and you put down a payment, a down payment. And the man you bought the land of would give you some of the earth of that land. And you had it in your possession. And that was the earnest. The same in quality, but certainly not in quantity. And we have now exactly that shall be ours throughout all eternity. Not in quantity, but certainly in quality. Israel passed through a wilderness sea. God was bringing them into Canaan. Said God, you won't need to wait until you get into Canaan to enjoy Canaan. I'm going to give you Canaan on the way. You're going to live with me in Canaan. I'm going to live with you in the wilderness. And so he had them make the tabernacle that God filled with his glory. And if they wanted to, they could have had Canaan all the way. God dwells with his people now. And by the Spirit of God, we can enjoy now what we shall enjoy soon in the glory. Mr. Barker gives another illustration, perhaps a little simpler. He tells of how a man bought sheep. And he said to his servant, put them in that field there, or that pen there. Put them in there. Just outside that pen was a luscious clover pasture land. He said, while they're in that pen, go out into that pasture, get some clover, throw it over the fence. And the sheep were enjoying what they would have in all its fullness later on. They were eating the clover from the field. My beloved Christian brother and sister, you're in clover. You are. God has given the earnest. Next. The Holy Spirit of God has been writing. Every believer is a love letter sent from heaven to this perishing world. God wrote on tables of stone, the ministration of the law. It was a ministration of condemnation. It was a ministration of death. For the law could never give life. Its word was D-O, do. And if you didn't do, it was D, but D-E-A-T-H, death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the ministration of the Holy Spirit is so different. It's not tables of law given to the world to condemn. It's tables of flesh. And God is writing to the world. And your life and mine is the epistle. I hope you are legible. I hope I am legible. I hope the writing of the Holy Spirit of God can be seen. We are epistles, letters. When do you write a letter? Distance. When do you write a letter? When you're concerned. When do you write a letter? When there's someone you love. Is there distance? Yes. This world is far from God. Is there concern? Yes, God loves that world. Is there love? Yes, and God wants them to know it. And you and I are read of all men. Don't let that writing be blurred by the world. Let that writing be erased by doubt. Let it be legible. Company of folks, they asked concerning an unlettered teacher that was amongst them. He didn't know how to read. He didn't know how to write. And someone remarked in a sort of a disparaging way, he can't even read. No, they said, we know, but we can read him. And what do you find? Christ in every action. We can read him. Epistles of Christ. Listen. One more. I like books. I have several thousand books in my library. They're scattered all over now. But I like books that are illustrated, don't you? Even if I have a book of an author that I like to see his picture at the beginning of it. I like an illustrated book. All right? You're an illustrated book. What? Here it is. We all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is it that our God and Father in heaven wants? He sent his Son into this world and he said, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. And they looked at him. Some didn't want to. Some were blinded. Some said, no, we'll not look. But when they looked, they loved. We love him. One look from his blessed face won these hearts of ours. Now, says God, I want many like that in this world. I want many moons, as it were, to reflect the glory of the sun. I want them to be illustrated epistles. I want this world to see Christ in my own. And how will that be accomplished? By the Holy Spirit of God. When you and I gaze upon that man in glory, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're that mirror. And as you look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be seen in you not the temper of the old man, but the grace of the glorified man. Not the deceitfulness of old Adam, but the true righteousness of that man in glory. Not the selfishness of that heart of yours, but the sacrificing love of that man in heaven. You are an illustrated letter. And the Spirit of God is transforming your life, transfiguring you. So that you in this world reveal Christ.
dear old fellow, was in our home in Spring Lake. Brother Upton from Minneapolis. One incident in his life he'll never forget. Dear man covered Minneapolis twice in St. Paul with tracts from door to door. Knocked at one door. Little girl came to the door. She opened the door. She ran into the kitchen. Oh, Mother, the Lord Jesus is